make 1-6 immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by the fine folks over at
Hawthorne Race Course and the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering App. That's exactly correct. Derby day a week from tomorrow. The great Eddie Olchek will join us next Thursday on the show with our picks. But download the app. Have some fun. Derby day. Let's make some cash. Here is Shea W. I go to bed earlier than Cap Norling.
Oh, that, you don't have to do that. Good morning, boys.
I called him. I leave Soldier Field.
Yellow.
It's like 10:15. I leave Soldier Field. I was downtown from, I left my house at 4:45 yesterday in the morning. Mm-hmm. I got home, it was 11. I call Shay at 10:08. Voicemail.
Yellow.
It's greatest night of the year. It's the draft. I'm going to be up watching it.
I was up watching it.
I'll chat with my executive producer. Have a little combo about what the Lions did, what the Bears did, the trades by the Texans. What'd you think of all the picks, the Eagles? Voicemail.
Can't do it.
Instead, he called to Dan Hampton. Cappy, this is a reach, and I will tell you why. I drive a Chevy. Back to you. Coach wants that. Don't worry about it, Shay.
It's so ridiculous.
Don't worry
about
it.
Whatever. I go to bed earlier than you. I also wake up earlier than you. I was up at 3:30 this morning. 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, the wipe the donut crumbs off your belly is not waking up.
Donut crumbs? What are you talking about? I was in bed with my wife watching the end of the draft,
yeah,
hanging out, and I get a phone call at 10:08 p.m. That's after hours from David Kaplan. I know this is a 30-minute chat. No, I'm putting the phone down. Back on the face. No answer tonight, Cappy. Sorry.
This is not after hours.
10:08?
In the media, you're on call.
That's leave me alone time. You're not giving me breaking news at 10:08. We'll talk in the morning.
Damn. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
All right, boys. The Bears will have three selections in a cluster today from 53 to 64, barring any trades as the draft moves into the second and third rounds tonight. They got some bona fide protection for Justin Fields now in place with Darnell Wright. So shot or no shot, tonight the Bears need to prioritize the defensive line.
That's a shot. Now, I agree, Cap, that you still want to look at your offensive line because everything's about the protection of Justin Fields. Every bit of this. Offensive line, secondary, offensive weapons. Everything's about Justin Fields. But I still believe because the Bears had, 20 sacks last year?
Mm-hmm.
20 sacks last year? That won't get it done.
Agreed.
You've got to be able to shore that up. And again, whatever they do in the draft may not shore it up. It may not. But you got to try. It just won't get it. This won't be done well with just Elmer's glue and tongue depressors. You've got to be able to get the genuine article over there on the defensive line. Help. Get to the quarterback, for God's sakes, for once.
Agree with you. It is absolutely a shot. I have to come out of this draft with another offensive lineman, non-center, and a starting center. Starting.
Poor Doug Kramer.
Maybe he gets a chance. He's on the team.
Just sitting there.
From Illinois last year.
Yeah.
But I want either the kid from, I gave you the four schools in the Big Ten. Just find me a starting center who's really cerebral, can dissect things, hold people account. Give me like Olin Kruch Jr. I want him right there.
Nasty.
Nasty. Oof. I want somebody who feisty. And I find it real interesting that Tevin Jenkins is not listed as a starter. Boy, is that a shot across the bow. But yes, shot. They're going to also address the defensive line.
Shay Norley.
It wasn't a huge surprise to see the Bears move down, but it was a bit of a surprise to see the way they did it, essentially swapping picks with the Eagles to get Jalen Carter, and they ended up getting that 2024 fourth-round pick as well. Shot or no shot, Jalen Carter was never a part of the Bears' plans last night.
Shot. Shot a million times. They did all the homework, because as Hoodie will tell you, one of the top prospects, talent-wise, in the draft. In the end, there was zero chance they were taking him.
That's based on information that you received. I say no shot because it's a long process. You asked, was Jalen Carter ever part of the process?
Yeah.
That's a shot. That at some point it was, maybe early in the process, but clearly not late. Like, I'll tell you what, when it was, Jalen Carter was in the process before we found out what happened in Athens. So I got after the Super Bowl to the combine to the draft. So, no, that's, I think he was in the part of the process until they found out what was going on. And the Bears were like, nope, can't do that. And by the way, not criticizing the Bears or any other team for passing him up. You understand. If we don't have the infrastructure to take care of that young man, and not saying that this kid is just the worst kid in the draft in the first round. The ability is there. The talent is there. The raw ability is there. He was part of the process early before the combine. Absolutely he was. It was a consideration. But now, when you now blessed and privy to the information, no, we're good. We'll pass. We'll get an offensive lineman instead.
Agreed.
Yeah, 100%. I think he was part of the plan. I mean, he was on their board. They're like, nah, we can't do it now. I get it.
But last night, I mean, at the start of the night, there was never a chance they were taking him. I will say, for me personally, the Eagles and Howie Roseman are becoming a bit like the Tampa Bay Rays, where when you make a deal with them, I feel like you're getting worked a little bit. No matter what happens, whether it's a good deal in terms of value or not, I feel like they have such a precise read on what they're doing right now. It's like trading with the Rays. You don't win those trades. I get a little nervous.
I totally understand. And this is one of those situations for me, Cap, where it works out for both teams.
Yes.
If there's no Kelce in the locker room, if there is no Fletcher Cox around the organization, if there aren't extra Georgia Bulldogs on the team, then if I'm an Eagles fan, I'm like, wait a minute now. Hold on. You sure you know what to do? I know that we just got to the Super Bowl, but don't outsmart the room here. Don't think you could fix something, you know. But I think that with everything that the Eagles have within that room, this can help a Jalen Carter. Bears just didn't have that.
Correct. And somebody was tweeting at me, well, can't Poles and Eberflus, these guys hold them accountable? No, it's the infrastructure of veteran players that teach you how to be a pro. It's like you don't always listen to your parents, but somebody else comes into your life and says the same thing. Like TV Dad, that commercial.
Yes.
TV Dad. I just said the same thing. But they listen to TV Dad.
Exactly.
When Fletcher Cox says, we don't do that here. And Hassan Reddick says, we don't take plays off like that, son. He learns, oh, those guys are all pros. Now I know what it takes to be a pro. It's a process.
Yes, and so and because of that, Cap, I just think that that works out well. By the way, let's go back 24 hours. Here's Mike Greenberg.
They're going to take Jalen Carter.
Do you think he's going to be there at 9, Mike?
I do. I think he's going to be there, and I can tell you, let me make it clear, I am not an insider, none of that. I'm telling you what the buzz is everywhere here, because I've been here since yesterday. And all of the buzz is that Jalen Carter is going 9 to Chicago.
Okay. He was there at 9.
And they were never taking him.
but he was there at 9. Greenberg got that right. He'll be there at 9.
Little old takes exposed for you at the expense of our teammate, Mike Greenberg.
Freezing cold takes. Here's Shea Norley.
The Bears have had a very clear track of mind this offseason, boys. They traded the first pick in the draft and acquired DJ Moore, and now they went out and shored up the right side of their offensive line in the first round of the draft. It's pretty clear. Get Justin Fields some help. So shot or no shot? For Justin Fields, pressure's on.
That is a shot. That's a shot.
Absolute shot. Hoodie's right on the money with that. Nailed it.
On the clock.
He is on the clock. Okay. And when the 3 days this weekend, Shea's version of late night Cinemax is over, 3 days of the NFL draft, he is absolutely going to have, got a new right tackle. Oh, I got a new center. I got a free agent right guard. I got a veteran at left guard. Let's go. And he's got DJ Moore, a healthy Darnell Mooney. He's got Chase Claypool re-energized. You better. A good running game, you better put some points up.
Blue Eddie! Hey, Blue Eddie! Let the ball go! Let the ball go! Sack!
Bam!
No excuses! You got time now! Open receiver there, open receiver there, tight end open there. Time to throw. What are you doing? Oh, man, my bad. Blue Eddie! Blue Eddie! Oh, God!
By the way.
Why is he running out of the pocket, Cap? Why? He's got time! Cap!
Get the ball out.
He's got two new offensive linemen. Look at him.
PTSD from a year ago. By the way, yesterday we take a break on the show. We're waiting for, I think, Jaquan Brisker. Danny and I go to the pro shop. I bought a couple of things in there. One of them I'm wearing, in the cool Bears orange hoodie. Uh-huh. And I bought this like white pullover thing, this coach's thing. So looking at the entire array of stuff in there, Danny finds the Trubisky's jerseys. They're still in there.
That's ridiculous.
At Soldier Field. I put it on. It was a double X. It was like way too huge on me. Mm-hmm. I put it on. Danny took a picture of me kind of looking back at him. Said, I can't give up on Mitch just yet. Not quite, but it was funny. Mitch jerseys on sale at the pro shop in Soldier Field.
Can you give me a price?
I don't know.
Was it the tag hanging?
I didn't look at it. I just put it on because Danny asked me to.
So ridiculous.
But it had to be 99% off, right?
Yeah, it should be.
He's buying it. Except me.
Shay?
Quickly, boys, some sad news yesterday. Jerry Springer passed away after a private battle with cancer. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, Jerry is the king of daytime television.
That's a shot.
That's a no shot.
Phil Donahue's in that discussion.
That's exactly right.
Now, we're not counting Oprah as daytime television, are we? Because if
she was.
Was she on television in the daytime?
Yes.
I thought of her as morning television. I thought of them as afternoon television.
Would she be the king of daytime television?
Yes.
The queen.
She'd be the queen.
Queen, right. King, whatever.
No,
she was the undisputed heavyweight champion.
The queen does not have balls.
Wow.
She doesn't.
I thought of her as a morning show host. She was 9 o'clock.
Daytime is also the morning. What shift do you think we're working?
Mornings.
Is that not the daytime?
Carmen Yerk are daytime in the middle. Waddle and Sylvia are afternoon drive.
No. You see that sun? We're on in the daytime,
it's
pal.
Cloudy to me.
No, see that? There's God put the light on there. It might be a little cloudy, but I mean, it's... We're in the daytime,
okay,
are we?
Then it would be Donahue.
Yep.
Povich. Maury.
Not Povich. Get him out of there. Not Povich.
Steve Wilkos.
All right.
Wilkos.
That'll be fine.
And
all right.
Springer. All right. Did I ever tell you my Springer story?
Nope. And we got to go because we got to around the National Football League.
I hung out with him.
Right around the corner.
Boy, the ladies
don't forget,
liked him.
Still to come, Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from him coming up at 8:35. Cap'n Jay Hood on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Cap'n Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN.
Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Carmen and Yurko live from Kansas City, the site of the 2023 NFL Draft. Carmen and Yurko will be together from 10 to 2 doing their show and Greeny's show as well. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30. Darnell Wright, the newest Chicago Bear, will be on ESPN 1000 at 2:30 this afternoon. And Waddle and Sylvie 2 to 5:30 into White Sox baseball as they take on the Tampa Rays. Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Sox. 5:30 pregame, 6:10 first pitch here on the home of the White Sox. ESPN 1000. As Rick Kahn will always tell you,
tune in.
Time to go around the NFL.
Boy, what a lousy ball club.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers. Right?
The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Right?
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl. Right?
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
We got so much to get to around the National Football League. And to start us off, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, we'll get to the Lamar story. That will come up here. But I want to start in the division because Mel Kiper has put out his first round winners and head scratchers. And his biggest head scratching team is right here in the NFC North, the Detroit Lions. I know I wasn't alone in this room when they took Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back out of Alabama, with the 12th pick in the draft, and then double reached, taking middle linebacker Jack Campbell out of Iowa. What the F was this team doing last night?
I don't understand. If you got Montgomery, Cap, and you got him, and I still think there's at least a couple of years, good years left in Montgomery, why pick up Gibbs as the running back? You're loaded with quality talent for the Lions. Why that choice? Don't you need secondary help? Don't you need help on your defense?
After they traded away Jeff Okuda, the former third overall pick, he had been dealt with some injury issues. He had a much better year last year. They trade him away. I thought, perfect spot to either grab Jalen Carter, which I've been clear I wouldn't do, but Tyree Wilson's still on the board. Boy, him and Aiden Hutchinson, what a dynamic duo that would be. Or go get Christian Gonzalez, who some thought was the number one corner. Devon Witherspoon from Illinois went ahead of him. He went at 5. They did what? I was shocked. Shocked. Disappointed in the Lion fan base that, for them, that they thought, boy, we're going to control things here. Did what? I didn't get it.
I didn't understand that either, Shay. But again, the Lions, still a team that's destined for the playoffs this upcoming season, but you didn't help yourself for your future by getting this running back or a linebacker and not take care of your secondary.
I mean, are they destined for the playoffs? Their home run hitter is suspended 6 games for gambling. He's going to finish the season. I'm talking about Jameson Williams. He will not have played a full season's worth of games in the NFL at the end of his second season. Then they go in this draft and they draft like they're trying to win Super Bowl 22 with something out of 1989. Taking a running back and a middle linebacker, the two positions that have been the most devalued in the NFL over the last two decades. I can't wrap my head around this. For a team that had built their roster so well to this point, to turn around and do this, I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. There's a lot of ways we can go here. Can I just throw out Houston for a second? What a haul for them. Getting Stroud and Anderson at the top, Cap. Houston Texans. Anderson.
So all these people that said Stroud is going to slide, he may go out of the top. Stop. Guy's a damn good football player. And to get Will Anderson, who is the top edge guy on most boards. Some had Tyree Wilson, but he had some injury concerns. Will Anderson's a beast. To get that all done, I know they paid a price to come back up.
Brother.
Dude, if you're a Houston Texans fan today, you go, all right, I know we're a long way away, but hang on. We got an all-pro level left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, and we've already extended him for $1 billion. He's there. We got our young quarterback. We'll develop him. Now we get Will Anderson to play on the edge for D'Amico Ryans, who is looking for a guy like Nick Bosa. I think they had a home run night.
What do you think, Shay?
Kiper has him in head scratchers, and to be honest, I kind of agree. If you're Houston, you got to hope C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are all pros in a hurry because they don't have a second-round pick anymore. They gave up a first-rounder next year, a third-rounder next year. I like the guys they got. I think they got 2 of the 5 best players in this draft, but they gave up a ton to do it. And they have so many holes. They're not ready to win this year. Like, these two guys need to be all pros by their second years, or you're looking at a team that gave up a ton of assets to do this.
So for me, it would have been Anderson at 2, and then that would have been that. Because to me, again, you're not ready to win. Davis Mills is not horrible. What I'm saying is he's a placeholder for whatever's next. For me, it would have been Anderson at 2. Now, again, because you got 2 and 3, I think Will Anderson would be the better pro. That is my projection. That's my prediction. But saying that, you gave up the farm to get this thing done, to make a splash at 2 and 3. I would have gotten Anderson and then at some point find a quarterback, but not in that spot with Stroud.
This is a great point made in our Twitch chat, too. The Texans gave up more to get Will Anderson than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack.
Wow. Think about that. Again, this is you know, this is Caserio, new regime, D'Amico Ryans. They're trying to build this the right way. But I think Anderson will be the standout there.
Now, the one thing you said, to gave up more with Khalil Mack, you also had to give him $140 million contract.
But you had a proven player. Will Anderson, you know, it's still a dice roll.
True.
Let's talk about some of the winners. I know, Cap, you were out on Jalen Carter, but it's hard to look at the Eagles and think they didn't come away winners. The rich get richer. You add Jalen Carter to the middle of your defensive line, and then you put Nolan Smith on the edge on a defense that was already one of the best in the NFL.
Between the hedges in Philadelphia, because of all those the Georgia guys that they have there.
It's amazing.
I mean, but
there's a big article, Dog Nation. You follow them.
Yes, sir.
I do, too, because of you.
Yes, sir.
WDWG.
Yes, sir.
Dog Nation. And
sick 'em.
Holy bleep, there's a whole article about how Georgia now plays in Pennsylvania. All these guys.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Again, you don't worry about them, Cap, because of how they were coached, the program they come from. They're national champions. Oh, yeah. No, we're coming. And again, there's a player in place that was almost in jail a month ago, and Jalen Carter. And so we'll see how that works with Philadelphia, but I think that that is a home run. I don't have to be a Georgia fan to tell you that. I'm just saying that the infrastructure seems right. I trust Howie Roseman and that front office for the Eagles. I want to ask you guys about Anthony Richardson at four to the Colts. A surprise to you, Shay, because Anthony Richardson, and it's not because Alex Brown was here yesterday. I think based on everything we saw in the combine, again, terrific, unbelievable athlete. You know that they were going to try to get a quarterback. I think that I can see a scenario where Minshew starts and then Richardson eventually gets in there for the Colts.
Yeah, that's going to be the way it plays out. Yeah. I was talking to some people yesterday that work at some sports books and people who are in the know a little bit. And I was told that Ballard really kind of fell in love with Levis and wanted a guy who could start day one. But as an organization, they wanted a more long-term project guy. They don't think Stroud is year one ready to go. Stroud, Richardson's year one ready to go. But they like his upside a lot more than anybody else.
Look, he's got a ton of talent. Didn't you say yesterday, the best to Alex, he's the best athlete we've seen come along at this position in a long time?
Yes.
He is loaded, but he's exceptionally raw and exceptionally put in a position where you got to be careful how you use this kid till he's ready. You cannot waste this opportunity.
I know it kind of threw me off, guys. I just didn't expect to see Brett Bielema of all guys, right? Sitting there in the draft, get, you know, pull, hikes his pants up. Congratulations, Witherspoon. ILL. You? What are you doing here? But I understand, like, but there's Witherspoon there. Top five, going to Seattle. A game changer
game
for the
changer.
Illini. Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of threw me off, Shay. It's like, I know he's going to be drafted in the top 10. I'm like, oh, my God, he's here. And Lovey was never there in that spot in the first round, for a first-round pick with Illinois.
Yeah, that was surprising. I was surprised to see him go five. I think everybody kind of inked him to Detroit at six. And maybe that plays a part in why Detroit had such a weird night in Witherspoon flying off the board a pick ahead of them. Maybe there was some panic there. But great to see an Illini go in the top five in the draft.
Jonathan, did you guys see the Patrick Mahomes tweet during the draft? Tyree Wilson gets picked. Immediately, Patrick Mahomes, take it easy on me, big dog. Congrats, though.
That's exactly.
That's
he's
good.
He's coming for his head.
That's good energy. How about the other winners of the draft last night quickly? Baltimore re-signs Lamar Jackson on a five-year, $260 million deal with $185 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest player in the NFL. They already gave him Odell Beckham. And then at 22, they give him Zay Flowers, the wide receiver out of Boston College.
Well, I know one thing. For my next contract negotiation, Lamar Jackson will negotiate for me.
He did this without an agent.
Yes. So he will be upstairs, and he'll negotiate for me.
I do wonder if there's going to be a little precedent coming off of Lamar negotiating a contract like this without an agent. Obviously, you have to be a transcendent talent to do it. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, what do you need an agent for? Lamar just got this deal by himself.
And so, yeah, which is amazing to me. And I'm glad it happened right before the draft. That's cool. And just briefly, guys, we got to talk about Will Levis. if you just listen to Albert Breer, he gives you kernels, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just asked him 2 weeks ago, Albert, what are you hearing on Will Levis? And you know what he said to us? I can't find anyone that loves him. He said it on our air. We missed it, but that's what he said.
He did say that.
He says, I can't find anyone that loves him. And there he is sitting in the green room with his girlfriend and his mom. And you saw something particular about his mom that you find interesting.
What is going on with these, like, side hugs? You keep going to Will Levis, and you can read his lips. Oh, I kind of thought I'd be gone by now. And then his mom is giving him these, like, jokey side hugs, like you hug your kid after they go 0-for-4 in Little League. It's all right, honey. I got the secondhand embarrassment that I felt for Will Levis in that green room. Yikes.
Is he still there?
Oh, yeah. He's still on the board.
Yes, he spent the night?
Yes. He's there laying on the couch now. And let me just make sure it's very clear. Cap, are you listening? Make it very clear. Nobody likes a weirdo.
He was a weirdo,
I'm just saying, like, and when we went through our mock drafts, I gave him all the flowers as far as the look, the ability, the strong arm down the field. But he was a turnover machine. Could not read defense as well. I don't know. I'm just an SEC fan.
He was also the number one red zone efficient quarterback in college football last year. Number one.
Well, everybody says he's pro ready. He could start on an NFL team tomorrow, but he might already be at his ceiling.
Is he the mayonnaise and the coffee guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's why, like I said. No,
and he eats bananas with the peel on.
Oh, my God.
Nobody likes the weirdo. And the teams are like, he eats what? The whole banana? Pass.
I asked either Brisker or Gordon about that. He's like, wait, he puts what in his coffee? Mayo. They couldn't believe it.
Nobody likes the...
And the banana thing.
Nobody likes the weirdo. And he's going to prove someone wrong at some point. Ah! That's a bad combo. Coffee, mayo, and a banana with the peel on it. But there you have it, Cap. He'll be there. He'll get picked up. But just understand, there's a run on quarterbacks and wide receivers at some point in this draft. But he was not one of them.
Also, I know we have to break. Mike Florio has some very interesting stuff on Jalen Carter that he refused. Good respect to him for doing it. To refuse to report until after the draft because he did not want to be part of forcing a kid down the draft board. We've got to talk about because it lines up with the intel you get because you're wired to that program.
Coming up, we will hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears, his thoughts about what the Bears did by getting Darnell Wright on the ball club. You'll hear from the general manager of the Bears next on Cap and J-Hood. Stay with us.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
Stand by. We're going to hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears, in just a moment. Get his thoughts about the Bears picking up Darnell Wright, who is the offensive tackle from Tennessee. He allowed 0 sacks in 2022 over 850 snaps. The Bears have picks 53, 61, and 64 tonight. The Cubs beat the Padres to take the three-game series and improve 14-10 is their record right now. They won 5-2 yesterday. Eric Hosmer, Nelson Velasquez, as well as Dansby Swanson homered. Cubs start a weekend series against Miami tonight at 5:40. The White Sox, they lost their eighth straight game yesterday, 14-5. Tonight it'll be Giolito on the hill for the Sox at the 6:07 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Celtics eliminated the Hawks in Game 6. Celtics will take on the Sixers in the conference semifinals, while the Heat will take on the Knicks. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCatMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap'n Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Talking to you about the Bears and their first selection in the NFL draft yesterday, taking offensive tackle Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. Some thoughts from Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears, on Darnell Wright.
Excited with Darnell. You know, a player that we can add to our offensive line and continue to get better up front. Big, athletic guy, physical. The one thing that stands out with him, he's a tone setter. He plays with an edge to him, which we love. We want more of. So he's definitely going to add that to our front. Versatile guy. He can play left, right. He's played guard before as well. You know, this was a really cool experience to go through with him. We had him at the Senior Bowl, really stood out there Brought him in for a combine interview. Did a really nice job there. And then we had the, you know, his private workout that Simo and I went down and worked him out, which was a really big piece. You know, there's an attitude, there's a mental toughness that you have to play this game. With him, you know, I kind of joke around. We brought him to deep water to see if he could swim or not, and he accepted the challenge, and he showed us the grit and the mental toughness to be able to fight through fatigue and all of those things that we look for. So it was a really good experience from start to finish. A guy that we were comfortable with as being the top tackle in the draft. So we're pumped about that.
As an offensive lineman himself, Ryan Poles understands what it takes to be able to flourish and excel at that position. And he looked at that and said, okay, 55 sacks surrendered by the offensive line last year. I got to shore that up. And Wright, I think, fits the bill.
So he gives you a solid football player. Nasty, great person off the field. The Bears spent so much time and effort evaluating him. Luke Getsy was his coach at the Senior Bowl. You heard the private workout. You had the pre-draft visit to Hallis Hall. You had the meeting with him in Indianapolis. All you had to do was connect the dots. We got an offensive lineman for a GM. We got an offensive lineman as our assistant GM. Ryan said that's the first private workout he did with a position coach and a kid in his career. The two of them flew down in Knoxville. Start connecting all the dots. He said he had consensus and conviction on him 4 weeks ago. That's my guy. And he had calls for number nine from other teams. That's how he was able to get the fourth round pick from the Eagles. He did not want to go any farther back because at 11, he knew Tennessee's going offensive line. He thinks they would have taken Darnell Wright. And he goes, I couldn't lose my guy. So I only went one pick down.
Darnell Wright on trying out for the right tackle spot.
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this last year. It's like, how can you put the best five together? So if that's right tackle, it's right tackle. We'll compete, keep it open. And, you know, whatever that front five is, that's what we'll roll with. Today, it's hard to just put him in one spot and say, hey, you've earned your job and all that. He's got to come in and earn it like everybody else.
Nasty dude, Mr. Wright.
He's a nasty dude who, when you watch the tape and like, all right, we got to play the Bears next week, you go, okay, like, this is going to be a long day.
Carter was not just another red flag player. I mean, he was considered by some the top player in this entire draft, and as a three technique was, you know, played the kind of position that Eberflus craves. Is it fair to say that the character played a role in not getting him?
Yeah, I won't comment, like I said, specifically on him, but character is always going to be important for us.
What sense do you have of tomorrow and who's still available?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to get back in the room here for another hour or so and see what the numbers look like. You know, there's some percentages that we can play to see how many guys are left in a certain area that, you know, what's the likelihood that they're there if we sit. Or do we have to move to feel a little bit more comfortable about that? So I say there's a chance we can move up. There's also a chance, you know, we can move back a little bit too.
So some thoughts there for Ryan Poles. It's interesting because he, in that press conference, he goes into the Jalen Carter stuff because, you know, when asked if Jalen Carter, you know, dropped off the board.
Yeah, that's, you know, I knew that question would come up. I think what I'd rather do with that is just stick with talking about Darnell. We felt comfortable that that was the guy that we wanted. You know, even though Philly, you know, we did the swap with Philly, we felt really good about that.
So you can just see the conversation, right, Cap? It's like the Eagles calling the Bears yellow. So what are you guys doing at 9? I don't know. What do you want to do at 10? Well, we really like Jalen Carter. You do? How about you and I switch picks? Yeah, we could do that. So you want Carter at 10? We won't take him. You want to do that? What else? And then it was a fourth round pick, right?
Correct. And somebody called in earlier, I think, and you put him on with Courtney. Why couldn't they get a third round pick?
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, the Eagles are going to go, no, sorry. We're taking a chance on Jalen Carter because we feel like we have the infrastructure to support it with our players. Okay, I want a third round pick. No, not going to do that. I want a third round. I'm going to make it clear. We are not doing that. Well, unless you have another suitor sitting there, then you're squandering the fourth round pick and just taking your guy at 9.
Right. That's it, like if Philly knows you're not taking Carter and they're going to call the bluff and you're going to take Darnell Wright no matter what, consider yourself lucky you got anything out of moving back a pick.
Right. Unless you had someone else zooming up to grab Carter. But then at 11, Ryan said he knew Tennessee was taking an offensive lineman. Why would Tennessee not take Darnell Wright out of the University of Tennessee? And all of a sudden, Ryan's like, oh, great. I got a third-round pick for number 14. I'll pick a number out of thin air. And I lost my guy.
Right.
Be I happy understand. You got your guy. You had. He said he had conviction on him 4 weeks ago. That's my guy. After the private workout down in Knoxville.
So what else are you going to do today, Ryan?
It's going to be interesting. You know, we're going to get back in the room here for another hour or so and see what the numbers look like. You know, there's some percentages that we can play to see how many guys are left in a certain area that, you know, what's the likelihood that they're there if we sit, or do we have to move to feel a little bit more comfortable about that? So I say there's a chance we can move up. There's also a chance, you know, we can move back a little bit too.
Oh, so some thoughts there for Ryan Poles, trying to be as transparent as possible. There's possibilities. You stick with the picks you have at 53, 61, and 64. Go up, move back. All I want them to do is get the best player available that you feel that could fit a need. And again, I am keen on this defensive line. You've got to get more than just 20 sacks. You got to be able to get some pressure for once. It's important.
You do. First and foremost, beyond sack, you got to stop the run. If you can't stop the run, you can't get off the field. And we were, what, 31st or 32nd in stopping the run? I know for a long time they were dead last. So they've got to get a three technique at some point in this draft and then get some pass rush. But I want to finish the job on the offensive line. I said it earlier, I want a starting center and another guy that you could put in there.
Shay Norling watched draft day, and he has some thoughts, long thoughts, about the great movie Draft Day.
It's an awesome movie.
Uh-huh. That's coming up next on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n and I will take your phone calls coming up at 9 o'clock here on Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. The Bears have their man. It is Darnell Wright out of Tennessee, the offensive tackle. We'll get your reaction. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. But first, so one of David Kaplan's favorite movies is Draft Day. And Cap believes it's an all-time great movie. So,
hold on a minute.
Huh?
I didn't say all-time great movie. It is a wildly entertaining film to me.
You also said great movie.
It's not like The Godfather or Shawshank Redemption.
Said great movie. Great movie.
It's one of your favorite movies.
Yes, that's the best way to put it.
One of his favorite films.
He said great movie. Did you not hear that part? Yeah, he's always said it's a great movie.
He has.
It's a great movie.
Did you go home and watch it yesterday, Kaplan?
I did.
Okay. The point is that he says that it's a great movie.
I didn't go home yesterday. I stayed downtown all day. I watched it over at the gym on the treadmill.
By himself.
Correct. The whole thing? You ran for that long?
I ran for a while, and then I walked on the treadmill, and I ended up, after a little bit, I fast-forwarded to the part where Vontae Mack is in the gym with his little nephew, and he's helping him with the tumbling and all that.
Yes.
And he gets the call from Sonny Weaver Jr. Callahan's a poser.
Yes. Cap has his own room to be able to do that over there at the gym. So he can watch it naked. So
what's wrong with Callahan? Why is everyone passing on him? Why did you pass on him?
I told you we like Vontae better.
Damn it, Sonny. I'm about to be on the clock here. Please. What's wrong with Callahan?
Can I be frank with you?
Yes.
I think he's a bust.
What a deeply stupid movie. I went home, Cap. I also watched the film. And I compiled a list. I have 9 items here of why this movie sucks. And I want you to defend some of these items. It's all of the things wrong with the movie Draft Day.
Great movie. Go ahead.
Number one, the presumptive number one overall pick, top prospect, is a generational quarterback from the University of Wisconsin. That would never happen.
Damn.
Ever.
Yeah, and the movie was in color, by the way. Not some old black and white film on Turner Classic Movies. And the best player of the draft is from Wisconsin. Go ahead.
Number two. And this one's an even worse affront to reality. Roger Goodell walks onto the stage at the draft to rousing applause. Can we live in reality for a moment? It's tradition to boo the commissioner. These people are going nuts. They're throwing their beers around, clapping, screaming. They've got signs. It's a celebration when the commish gets on stage. That's not real life.
Exactly. I mean, he's never got that kind of adulation before. Next.
Number three, after the trade and the climax of the movie, where we see three first-round picks go to Seattle in return for number one. Three first-round picks. This in the wake of the Robert Griffin deal. Seattle fans are livid that they're getting three first-round picks, and the signs they're holding just say boo.
So you got three items there. I'd like to defend any of that.
What are we doing?
Cap, go ahead.
First of all, to go from 7-1 for a generational quarterback, the price is three for, well, he gave up seven and then two more picks. So I got no issues with any of it. I don't need it to be perfect in NFL parlance. Just entertain me.
You know, actually don't need a sign that says boo. You could just boo.
You could just boo.
Right. Yeah. How about number four here? In the wake of the Robert Griffin debacle, I just mentioned.
Hey, boo.
A team that traded three first-round picks and then some to get Robert Griffin and failed miserably while Seattle went on to win Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You trade three first-round picks for the number one pick, and then after you've done this, you call in your capologist to ask if this works with the salary cap.
That was stupid. I'll give you that. That was stupid.
Number Allie, five.
Can we make this work? You should have thought about that before you made the deal, Sonny.
Very dumb. Number five, Dennis Leary, the head coach,
yep,
should have been fired on the spot multiple times. He walks into the GM's office and lights the playbook on fire.
Yep.
He negotiates a trade behind the general manager's back. And this is the worst of all. Uh-huh. He repeatedly tells people that the Cowboys, quote, win a lot.
Damn.
Cowboys win a lot.
Get him out.
Yes.
This guy's an idiot.
He's won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. They brought me here to get one of these, and he's wearing his big ring.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately.
My wife has expensive tastes. She likes to go shopping. I said, honey, pack him up. We're going to Cleveland.
Because that's realistic as well, right?
Right.
Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, God.
Next. I got to deal with Goldhammer and Rizzo on ESPN Cleveland.
Number six, a team trades three first-round picks to move from 7-1 for a generational quarterback. On the day of the draft, they finally watch tape of this guy and decide, maybe he's not that good, and nobody went to his birthday party. Then they spend the number one pick on a linebacker, something that hasn't happened since 1988. This guy, Sonny, he should be launched into a cannon and fired into the sun. What are we doing?
Except, Vontae Mack was a great football player. He got the best guy.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Brian Drew is throwing the ball 15 yards farther. He's got a hot wife. He looks the part. He's 6'5". And they got the best strength coach in the NFL, Tony Bagel. That's his name. Right.
I want to double barrel 7 and 8 because they're connected. When trading back into the first round, after five other idiotic teams pass on the supposed generational quarterback, Kevin Costner turns to his war room, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and says, "Who's picking next?" Are you kidding me?
Yes. Doesn't know.
Just look at the TV.
Well, he was busy getting a little action on with Allie in the office after he made the pick.
Number eight, the Jaguars, who were the team picking next, and their moron rookie general manager say they won't trade out of their pick for second round picks. You're going to have to give us some firsts. Sonny tells him, we aren't giving up any more firsts. We can't do it.
I give you first, but I already dealt them.
The Jags general manager stays on the phone and then trades out of a generational quarterback for second round picks. How the Jaguars let this movie get out is beyond me. I have no idea how the Jacksonville Jaguars organization allowed this to happen.
Three second round picks for the sixth overall is a fair deal, as Sonny told him. What I offered you was fair.
If you want to get fired.
Stay on planet Earth here with me, Jeff Carson.
And then number nine, because we're up against it, the final gripe I have. The Seahawks give back the three first-round picks and a player so they can draft a guy they decided just moments ago was worth less than the three first-round picks.
And I get David G.D. Putney. Because I feel like it. I need a punt returner.
I mean, it might be the dumbest movie ever made. What?
And this is why my partner likes for the Bears to hopscotch all over the draft, because he wants a real-life draft day at Hallis Hall.
Such a good movie.
Thoughts on the Bears and their day one pick of Darnell Wright in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.